Ask you to take your Bibles, please, and turn now to Acts in the 16th chapter. Acts chapter 16. And let's read God's Word here from this passage, written so long ago by Luke, given to us by the Holy Spirit for our teaching and instruction. We begin our reading here actually with verse 5 this morning. Let's read here God's Holy Word. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. And they passed through Phrygian and Galatian region, and having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia, and after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl, having a spirit of divination, met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." She continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. But when her masters saw their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which it is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans." The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, What must I do to be saved? They said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in the house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all his house. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Now when day came, the chief magistrates sent their policemen, saying, release these men. And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, the chief magistrates have sent to release you. Therefore come out now and go in peace. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us in public, without trial, men who are Romans, and have thrown us into prison. And now, are they sending us away secretly? No, indeed. But let them come themselves and bring us out. The policemen reported these words to the chief magistrates. They were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and appealed to them. And when they had brought them out, they kept begging them to leave the city. And they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. May the Lord God Himself bless the reading of His holy word. Let's pray. Our Father, as we read this portion of Your word, let our hearts truly bow before You and be ready to receive the instruction from it that is needed and necessary at the hour. For we ask it in the name of Christ and for His good. Amen. In this great passage that we're looking at this morning, before we begin, let me preface it with these few words of Jesus. You remember Him saying, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you will be My disciples. Well, today, as we abide in Jesus Christ, as we abide in His Word, we find in this passage before us that the heavenly King, Jesus, has provided richly again for His church and the instruction that we need. And these three matters we have before us here. First of all, that Jesus would have us discern the doors of ministry direction. Secondly, that Jesus would have us remember that open door, open heart, and open heart, open door, that they always go together in a cyclical kind of fashion. And thirdly, Jesus would have us to embrace and expect doors of difficulty and opportunity. So these three things are going to be looked at in this passage this morning as primary things. And we had a wonderful lesson and teaching this morning from the confession of our faith with regard to repentance, and last week on the nature of faith, all of which we see reflected in this very passage and being worked out. But we're looking at something more with a specialty, with an homiletical idea, if you will, looking at the entire passage here as a whole. And under these three headings, we hope for you to see how God governs and guides His church as we look at His ministry that He's entrusted to us. So Jesus, in the first place, wants His church, wants His people, wants individuals to discern the doors of ministry direction, verses 5 through 12. And in the first place, when discerning ministry direction, the very best place to start, the right place to start, it would seem from our passage, is by following instructions. Now, men, I know that this is painful for us, and our wives are not infrequently telling us this. You know, get the directions out, and it will help you if you are assembling this piece of furniture or this tool. Get the directions out. Oh, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And we're so good at that, trying to figure things out on our own. But our passage is recommending to us, yes, showing and teaching us that we need to follow directions. And this is what was happening in verse 5. The churches were being strengthened in the faith and increasing in number daily. That's the work of the ministry that we all, at every time of life, ought to be entrenched in, involved in, and going about. Be involved daily in this work of the ministry. Now, we've seen much growth in grace, and we've seen the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ being preached here by Paul and by the council at Jerusalem. But what does it produce in their life, and of what value is it to confess that great confession unless we see some working out of that great confession in the life of the church? And that's what we're seeing here. It's as if Paul is saying to us again from the book of Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, but the grace of God that appears to all men brings salvation. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. That's the end result of what God's grace does to us and for us and in us. And because of Christ's grace, the pathway of obedience for the Christian is the pathway of blessing. Now, if you're outside of Christ, all those good works and good deeds that you will do or possibly do in life, as we saw illustrated this morning, have a sure end, don't they? They lead away from Christ. They lead away from eternal life. And they lead to eternal destruction from the presence of the Lord. But in Christ, they become sanctified and washed and a means of blessing and encouragement in this world. And isn't it interesting how Paul ties it together in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10? Do you remember that great core passage that we all memorize and we have tucked away in our brains? How that, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we, verse 10, are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works that we should walk, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And so that's what's going on here at this place. As we have received the grace of Jesus, we should continue to be about the Father's business. That's what Jesus was doing. Even at the age of 12 in the Gospel of Luke, He was about His Father's business. If there's any one of us who can say we're not about the Father's business, we need to repent and turn around, have some metanoia, a change of heart and mind, and go the other way. That's what we need to do. Well, sometimes as we work, God seems to throw roadblocks or detours in our path. You've been there, Christian. If you've been in the Christian church for any length of time, you know how that this works. You'll work and you'll labor and you think that you have a sure path and you go in it, and there seems all of a sudden in front of your way of progress, there seems to be something blocking your way. And you can't go further in that direction. For an instance, for us, do you remember? I remember when, not long after we joined the congregation back in 2004, Janice and I came. And it wasn't long after that that we called a young man to help us in the work of ministry. And you remember when we did that, that we had some specific goals and we wanted to see church planting as a part of our work. And yet, for one reason or another, it just didn't come to fruition. It didn't come to pass. We had a lot of other good fruit from that. A lot of other wonderful things happened with that man's stay with us and his ministry among us. And since that time, we've had other efforts to do much of the same. But we've been denied that privilege, haven't we, time and again? Well, guess what? This past year, just across the state line, not due to our planting, but God in His sovereign grace says, I'm going to raise up a new RP church, and He plops one down in Grandview, Missouri. Isn't it interesting? What we try and fail in, what God can do, is so obvious and wonderful. We pray for God's grace and direction as we continue to labor in that. Now, we need to discern ministry direction. And we need to learn as a people and individually that when God prevents, we're to see a fence. When God prevents an action, rather than stop in our tracks and say, well, that's it, I can do nothing more, we're to read it and to look at it as a fence instead. In verse 6, we see this is the case. They passed through the Phrygian and Galatian regions, and having been forbidden or prevented, as the meaning of the word is, by the Spirit of God to speak the word in Asia. And so here we find that they were forbidden or restrained or prevented. Now, this should call to our minds something akin to the occasion of Balaam. Children, you remember the Bible history and the occasion and the story of Balaam, right? Balaam was that false prophet, and how he sat on his donkey and he went to go to bring a curse upon Israel if he could. And you remember when he went that there was an angel standing in the way that the donkey could see, but he could not. And he was mad at that donkey. And he kept beating the donkey and kicking the donkey and trying to get that donkey to go. But he was prevented from going on the way. And so we find that times God puts things in our way so that we will not go on a way that we would presume was right, but rather to go in the way of the Lord. God, you see, is the ruler of providence. Well, what is providence? Well, I'm glad you asked. Refer to your catechism in this. What are God's works of providence? God's works of providence are His most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all His children and all their actions. Right? Everything that goes on, God governs and directs. And so that's what's going on here. God sends providence in our way to act like a fence to guide us in our way. And so rather than fight against what God has placed in our path like Balaam did, we should rather see it as a fence to guide us. And we're happy people when we recognize the hand of God keeping us from going in a certain way. But then thirdly, under this point, in discerning ministry direction, verse 7 teaches us that we need to have a permit. Look at verse 7. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go to Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. Now, anyone who's ever built anything in the city limits or a municipality or even a county, you know that you better have a permit in hand or somebody's going to come along and question you about that. You need to have an allowance given you by the governing authority. Friends, when we build in Jesus' kingdom, we better have a permit to go. And He didn't have a permit to go in the one direction that He was thinking about going in. And so He had to stop. The mission team came to a stop and a dead end in this. Now, to permit here is to leave alone or to let allow. And so Paul needed Jesus' permit or His permission to go on in his building labors. Paul and Silas yet did not have the Lord's permission to go further, although they were actively trying to go. Jesus did not permit them. You know, we may wonder about this, but we needn't wonder long. It just wasn't God's timing. Sometimes we want to run ahead of God. We get our spiritual tennis shoes on and we run further than what God would have us to go. And so we find here that we need to wait on the Lord because God has a time for every purpose and under heaven. And He directs us in this way by His Word and by His providence. That is, by His Word here and His secret will, the Word of God. And Paul writes to the church at Rome these words, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you." And he says also, "But now I want you to be don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles." Paul is recognizing the providential place of God's direction in his ministry and life. He's trying, he's laboring, but God denies. And that's something that we often don't like to hear. And we want to go on at a pace anyway and go out of turn. But when God does send ministry direction to His church, there are three principles here I want you to understand. First of all, we should note the restriction in one direction doesn't mean that God isn't working. God is at work. We just don't see it in the way we're thinking. Secondly, a restriction in one direction doesn't preclude movement in another direction. Just because you can't go forward doesn't mean you can't go sideways. And we need to be sensitive to that. Thirdly, as Paul, we should be constantly ready to follow the hand of the Lord where He guides by His Word and providence. Both of them must flow together like a confluence of the mighty river coming together and working together for good. And when God does this, He sends ministry direction to His church. And again, there are three principles listed here in verses 8 through 12. First of all, we listen for ministry directions. And this is what Paul was doing when he couldn't go to the other places. He was waiting upon the Lord. And he received this vision from the Lord. Now today we may not receive a dream or a vision in this way, but we can build upon the principles of God's Word, coupled with that desire to go and help those who have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we find this "come over and help us" comes to us, and this sensitivity to listening to the needs of others, not even only in our own church and congregation or our own family, but outside of our walls. But then the second point here is that we are to make conclusions, much like Paul did. When he had had this vision given to him, we see that he deliberated on it, he thought upon it, and he came to some conclusions. We concluded, as a matter of fact. He didn't just keep it to himself privately, but we concluded. And then in making these conclusions from biblical principles and godly thought and prayer, he then thirdly took action. So we have listening for direction, we have a making of conclusions, thinking upon what is given, and thirdly, taking action on God's call. We sought immediately to go to help those in Macedonia. And so we need to obey the call, just like the disciples of old when Jesus came and called them on the seashores of Galilee, and he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they threw down their nets and they followed Jesus. So we are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're also to persevere in this call. And we don't just go a little ways like Mark did in the previous chapter, but we persevere in this. And Jesus tells us of this in such a place as Luke 9:62. He says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." You've got to keep hold of that. If you're going to make any progress in the gospel labor and work, you have to keep going forward. You can't stop. We go forward in patience and waiting on the Lord. Now, our church has much the same thing to do. We are to listen to God for an effective open door. We're to make conclusions based upon that. And then we're to act upon what God gives us to do. And as we go about this work which God has given us to do, we're to remember that there's no other time like today given to you or to me. We must walk according to what has been given us. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the time. And we need to take advantage of what God has given us while it is yet called today. And so this brings us to the next point, that Jesus would have us to remember the open door, open heart, open door. And guess what? I'm going to leave that for next week for us to look at, because the hour has come and we want to be cognizant of that, and there's so much more for us to unfold in this. But let us for today, dear people of God, let us remember that God has given a means for us to discern direction in ministry. It's not done simply by a flip of a coin. It's not done by superstition. It's done by biblically principled and reasoned thought and prayer and conclusions. And then finally, by the acting upon what God has given us to do. And there's plenty of work in the kingdom of God. There should be no one who's idle standing about in the kingdom of God, not knowing what to do. There's always work to be done. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank and praise you. You're a good God, and you have given us a way to know you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And you've also given us the way to know how and what we must do, even down to particulars. And thank you for your guiding and governing hand of providence. And as you take the Word of God and work it into our hearts, and as we know it and we seek to live it out, Father, show us those open doors of ministry, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.